Today, as I usually do on the first Sunday of the year, I want to share some thoughts about the coming year, 2021. Last week, I shared some Old Testament prophecies from the book of Isaiah concerning the people of God living after the time of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, I encourage you to listen to it, because in some ways it serves as kind of a preview to what I want to share today. First, before we go into 2021, let me just say a couple comments about 2020. This is pretty obvious, but 2020 was not what any of us expected or wanted. Still, most of us, I think, can probably testify of his faithfulness during this year. I do believe that God has been working inside of us in ways that we may only appreciate later. And in fact, I believe that probably for a lot of us, we could look back at 2020 as a very significant year for our spiritual walks. In fact, I would say this, if you're not beginning to sense that he is doing something, even though you may not be able to kind of grasp all of it, I just ask that you go before him and ask him to do his work in you. And don't worry, even though 2020 is over, we probably still have another 3 or 4 months of pretty tough months, I think, ahead of us. But I think the important thing is, let's ask God to work deep inside of us during these difficult times. And that's my prayer, that he has been doing that and he'll continue to do that. In other words, we don't want to kind of waste this year and just kind of come out of it bitter, resentful. What we want to do is we want to come out of this season having grown in our walk with the Lord. So today, what can we expect this coming year? And if I had to probably choose one word to describe what I see in the future, it would be uncertainty. We can expect uncertainty. And actually, if we think about it, that's a part of life, isn't it? We never can predict what's going to happen. There's always surprises. There's good surprises. For example, maybe you found the person that you're going to marry. Or maybe God meets you in a very unexpected way. But there's also going to be some disappointing, disillusioning, and maybe even devastating surprises that might come along. Like the loss of a loved one would be very devastating, perhaps. COVID was something that was definitely, disappointing for this year. But the truth is, we're probably entering into a time or a season of human history where there will be more uncertainty than in the past. Let's face it, in our lifetime, especially here in America, if you've grown up in America, life has been pretty predictable and also pretty planable. Now, I'm a planner, so I can appreciate that. And there's a good side to that. I plan each day. I usually plan my following week. I plan the following month. I plan the year, the following year. I even have plans for the next 5 to 10 years. And one thing I'm personally learning about this year is it's okay to make plans, but expect lots of changes. James 4, verse 14 through 16. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. That's true. We are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, that's kind of interesting, because he's saying that really, if we are clinging too tightly to our plans, it's really a symptom of arrogance, of pride. And he says, and that type of boasting is really evil. And I think that's one of the things that God is wanting to teach all of us during this past year and probably in the years to come. Remember the story of the man Jesus talks about him in Luke 12, that, you know, he had been very successful, and he thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build more barns, and I'm going to save up my grain, and I'm going to store it up, and then I'm just going to kick back, and I'm just going to enjoy life. And remember what happened? You know, the angel of the Lord came. The Lord came to him that night and said, you fool. Why was he a fool? Because this very night, your life is required of you. And who's going to take care of all this stuff that you've been working so hard for? You know, actually, at the end of that story, Jesus, in fact, why don't we kind of read it? Luke 12, starting in maybe verse 22. So after he kind of says this, you know, he talks about, you know, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself, is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you'll eat, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? Worry's never been able to do that, right? If then you cannot even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you'll eat and what you'll drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. And actually, we could go into the rest of the chapter. It's all very good. But it's kind of interesting that Jesus, after the story about the man who's kind of storing up, he gives this. Now, if that sounds familiar, it is, because Matthew records that also is something that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. So we can assume that probably Jesus talked about this on a number of occasions, because it's so important for us to learn that we need to not worry, but seek first his kingdom. And we don't need to be worried about, as it says, the barns or the storehouses, because God is our provider. He is going to take care of us. Now, I guess all this kind of leads up to a question we need to ask ourselves. What is the godly view of uncertainty? Because we're going to face uncertainty in this life, probably more so. Now, we may be surprised, and maybe 2021 turns out to be a very predictable year. That would be nice. And maybe the next year too. But when we look in the future, uncertainty is definitely stamped all over it. Again, I'm not trying to predict when and how and all that, because how can you predict uncertainty? It just doesn't even make sense, does it? So anyway, God's view of uncertainty. One thing, it requires a new level of trust on our part. Trust that God's going to take care of us. Trust that God has alternate plans that I could not possibly have planned. And I think that's important, that sometimes he has plans that we didn't fit into our plan book. But you know what? His plans are always better. Now, they may seem a little bit more difficult, but as far as the bigger picture, they always are better. And it's a level of trust that God does indeed see the bigger picture and that he's working. So trust is really big. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's a passage that many of us probably know by heart. But let's read it again. It says, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. Not part of it, but all your heart. and do not lean on your own understanding. That's where we can get tripped up. Because sometimes our own understanding says what? We need to go this way, or we need to worry about this, or we need to be fearful. But the word here is trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I believe that's one of the things that God really wants to teach his people in the months to come. I think another thing, uncertainty keeps us being focused on his purposes, you know, and it keeps us focused on that and not our own, you know, because, you know, most of us, we kind of have purposes that we want to live, and then there's God's purposes, and we try to kind of, you know, merge them together the best we can, but really his purposes are higher than mine. And one of the things that I think God wants to teach us is that when we are invested solely in his purposes, you know what? The joy, the contentment, the sense of purpose is going to be greater in our lives. But it takes sort of a paradigm shift in our minds to get to that place. It's a beautiful thing to watch God's purposes unfold. And he can and he will do them without our planning. Isaiah 46. Actually, we read this last week, but let's read it again. Verse 10 and 11. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done. Saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. So the purposes of God, the plans of God, he's going to make sure that they are accomplished. And you know what? We need to focus on his purposes and not on my purposes and for my life. And if we do that, we're going to live a much fuller life. Because if we're focused on our own individual purposes, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be frustrated because life doesn't always kind of happen. It's unpredictable. There's too much uncertainty. And then the third thing I'd like to say, and this is still part of that, you know, what a godly view of uncertainty is that we need to avoid things like fear, worry, panic, doomsday speculations, and I'll kind of throw in that, you know, all the conspiracy theories that you kind of hear across the map today. It just gets people all kind of churned up. And I mean, a lot of people, including some Christians, are absorbed in these things. And yes, the world is getting darker. It's getting more corrupt every week. And by the way, that's actually bipartisan. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where you are politically, it's going to get more corrupt. And I know that, you know, sometimes the Democrats feel like, oh, Trump, he's the reason for all our problems. And there's a doomsday, you know, conspiracy theories. And then Republicans, they kind of think about that with, you know, the Democrats. You know, this is what's going to happen if the Democrats win. You know, really, I mean, actually, I think we need to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against Republicans. It's not against Democrats. It's not against the liberals. It's not against the elites. It's not against the rich. It's not against the poor. It's not against the socialists. It's not against the communists. It's not against the capitalists. Who's it against? Let's kind of read it. Ephesians 6. It says it very clear. In fact, why don't we kind of start in verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, that is people. They're the ones we're reaching out to see coming to the kingdom of God. But it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's against the kingdom of darkness. And we need to remember that and stand firm and put on the full armor of God. And we can't allow ourselves to get in these. We just can't allow ourselves to get consumed with doomsday speculations. We don't want to go down the road of panic. We don't want to worry. We don't want to fear. Revelation. I like this verse. Or two verses here. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he's placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid." Or some translations, it's, "Do not fear." Why? Why shouldn't we be afraid? Especially when we kind of see everything that's going on. Why? Because Jesus says, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I live forever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." One of the things that God wants to really impart to us is a confidence that he is the living one, that he has the keys to death and Hades, that he is risen from the dead, and therefore we are not to fear. And we could probably add to that, or worry, or be anxious, just like we kind of read in Luke 12. You know, remember how the disciples started to fear in the storm when they're out in the boat? Was Jesus concerned? No, he was asleep. You know, he was resting. And somehow we've got to learn not to be afraid or worried about the storms. And I really believe this is one of the things that God is wanting to impart to the church during these difficult times. And again, this may just be a preview to really difficult times. So we really need to learn this. God wants to bring us to a new level of just leaving behind the things like fear, anxiety, worry, panic. We need to learn to keep our eyes fixed on him no matter what's happening. So what's ahead? Instead of specifics, let's ask, what are his purposes? Because we can be assured that he will be working on his purposes, even if we don't see him that, you know, or we don't see him clearly, like maybe, in other words, they could be happening behind the scenes sometimes. First of all, I think a fresh commitment to biblical discipleship. He's drawing us all to a deeper walk with him and a deeper commitment to his word. He's calling us to live holy lives. He's teaching us about trust. He's teaching us about prayer. He's teaching us about faith, denying self, having his values and priorities. That's all biblical discipleship. And when we look ahead to the next year and the next and the next year, what is on God's mind? He wants to see us immersed more and more into this biblical discipleship, because he knows we're going to need it for the months and years ahead. I think a second thing is, I just call it here, a renewed sense of koinonia, or community among us. I guess maybe one of the benefits of this pandemic is that, just think about how much, when we finally can meet together on a regular basis and be able to have meals together. And I mean, we're going to appreciate one another so much more than we have. And I really believe he wants to take us to another level, to a new level of biblical community, where he's establishing deeper bonds of agape love, where he's given us a greater understanding of things like forgiveness and preferring one another. That's one of the things he wants to do. I think another thing, if we start talking about God's purposes, he desires that more people come into his kingdom. And You know, in other words, when we talk about the purposes of God, we have to include that. Now, for the church, at least in the West, it's been a dry season over the last 10 or 15 years, maybe even longer, but that's going to change. Harvest is going to begin to increase. Now, how fast is it going to happen? Will we see it clearly this year? I don't know, but I do know harvest is coming and God's working behind the scenes. Actually, uncertainty has a way of removing all our props, our goals and dreams, our security. And it forces people to ask, what's really real? What is lasting? What's life all about? So expect more people coming into his kingdom and more people embracing a life of discipleship. There's going to be a lot of people who maybe kind of fallen away. They've become apathetic, but we're going to see more of those people all of a sudden embracing a life of discipleship because the world is not satisfied. The nations is definitely part of God's purposes if we kind of look into the scriptures. So the nations will increasingly be a focus for us. How? I really don't know. You know, there's too much uncertainty. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I could have given you a 5-year plan on how we're going to reach the nations. But now, I don't know. But I knew one thing that he does want us to do is, and that I'm speaking to people here at Emmanuel Fellowship, is he wants us to learn how to be a house of prayer for all the nations. I believe it starts there. And then another thing that we see when we look at the scriptures, what God wants to do in our generation, in the years to come, he wants more workers. Workers that are deeper, workers that are more focused than they are now, workers relying on his grace more and more. Actually, for those of you who are part of Emmanuel Fellowship, this past year, actually this fall, we started Doulos. And it's the purpose of it is to raise up more workers, more leaders, equip more workers and leaders, to push workers out of the nest, out of their comfort zone. And I think probably 2021 will be a time where we'll be picking up the pace there. You know, we've got at least one retreat planned. It's going to be more intense. And by the way, let me just say this. If anyone wants to jump in to what we're doing with Doulos, please talk to me. And for those of you who are not part of Emmanuel Fellowship, we're also in the process of expanding this online to those across the U.S. and really across the world. So, but those are some things that I know that God wants to be doing. So instead of trying to predict specifics, I just go back. These are some of the purposes of God. These are some of the things he wants to do. And he says he's going to establish them. He's going to do them. And I think as we focus in on him and develop a greater trust, we're going to see him do these things in our midst. Okay, I'd also like to just kind of maybe end with, what would I like to see? What am I hoping for? What am I praying for? Things that are maybe a little bit more specific. I'll mention two things. One is comprehensive immigration reform. Now, why do I say that? Well, not just because I think it's going to make lives easier for a lot of immigrants. I mean, that's certainly a good thing. But my reason for praying and my sense is that comprehensive immigration reform will give the status, the legal status to many people to be able to go to the nations where right now they're kind of stuck in sort of a legal limbo. So I believe that's probably something that we need to be praying for. It's something I'm praying for. And I have been. A second thing, this is another what I'd like to see, what I hope for, is that we would have and I'm talking about Emmanuel Fellowship, a permanent base for Emmanuel Fellowship and for the Doulos School of Ministry. When I say base, I think of base because it's sort of a sending out place. It's not where the ministry happens as much. It's where we are equipped to go out into the world here in Summit County, here in Colorado, or to the nations. And certainly, I think for Emmanuel Fellowship, we need meeting facilities. I think this year has probably shown us, because we keep just going from one place to another while we kind of wait for our regular place to open back up again. But I would like to see that happen in the next year or so. And also for Doulas, I believe there will be a day when God's going to be bringing people from literally around the world to be with us for short periods of time and even for extended periods of time for training. And I think there'd be, so I think there's a base for training, a base for even lodging would be important. So in conclusion, as we look toward 2021, what do I see? Uncertainty. But let's be men and women and teens and children who live and thrive in uncertainty. Can we do that? Let me say that again. Let's be men and women, teens and children who have learned to live and thrive in uncertainty. In other words, not just make it through, but let it be a place of opportunity for us in our own personal lives, with us as a church, but also in the ministries that God has given us. Now, that can't be done if our walk is weak or non-existent. So I think this is the time we need to really devote ourselves. Lord, I need to get focused on you and you alone. And when we learn to live and thrive in uncertainty, I believe we're going to see his purposes unfold around us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, it would be nice in some ways to know exactly what's ahead this next year and the next year. It'd be nice to know the next 5 or 10 years where we could plan our lives accordingly, where we could have our financial plans and our business plans and our ministry plans and our personal life plans. But Lord, it doesn't seem like that's the case. But on the other hand, you want us to learn to live and thrive in these times of uncertainty. That means trusting you at a brand new level. It means focusing in on your purposes and not our purposes. Lord, it means it means our increased devotion to you and who you are. And Lord, we ask that this year would be a year that we really begin. And Lord, I think you're already teaching us this, but Lord, that you would continue to teach and build inside of us a new level of trust that you are doing things that we can't see. Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing here on the earth in our local area as well as in the nations. Lord, we ask that you bring that about. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just one announcement, kind of the one that we always kind of give. Those who would like to give, especially those part of Emmanuel Fellowship, but others are welcome as well. You know, you can do so. Probably the best way is to use our app. Takes just a minute or so to set up. And then after that, about 30 seconds, you know, after that to, you know, to make a contribution. So listen, everyone have a happy new year, but more than a happy new year, may you have a fruitful and blessed new year, 2021. And let's see what it brings.